find it on Fox.
You won't find it on Disney.
It's Skate TV, Nickelodeon Sword Shredding Rampage.
Skate TV.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Bones Brigade audio show. I am Larry, and with me, as always, is Matt. Matt, what's up, buddy?
Nothing, man. Yeah, no, nothing. Actually, officially hot out here.
Hot here, too, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've turned the corner into, like, ants in the kitchen season.
You don't want that, dude. You don't want that.
No, dude.
All right, here we are, episode 57, and we're going to take another deep dive into a Skate TV episode. Today, we're doing episode 3, and our guest today will be Anthony Pappalardo. He will be joining us here in a few minutes, and he was a guest way back, what'd you say, episode 5 for Animal Chin?
Episode 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Burn.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he'll be back here in a few minutes. But let's see, Matt, any hot topics this week? You look like you had a wild Saturday yesterday.
Oh, yeah. There was a local show. Kind of, it was like a BMX and skateboard show. Mm-hmm. Kind of like just vintage stuff.
It was like a
swap meet slash show.
Okay.
So it was really cool.
Yeah,
I was there all day. And yeah, it was fun.
I had a couple things I wanted to bring up here. So Stacy Peralta on a recent episode of the Progression Project podcast started that. I haven't gotten through the whole thing yet. Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. And then a couple nerdy like skate video related things. So the H Street 35th anniversary soundtrack vinyl. So if you've seen Shackle Me Not or Hocus Pocus, all those crazy weird songs in those videos that you instantly wanted to own and be able to listen to. Well, now you can get it on a 12-inch vinyl, and that's up for pre-order. You know, it's got all the classic Kirk and the Jerk, Sub Society.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful Broken Things, and on and on and on.
And then, give me some dollar on a platter.
Yes.
Wheezing Maniac.
Yep. And then 411 Video Magazine had a 30-year reunion, and they had a cool like event. And iDabble is kind of like the modern day video magazine. They have a cool video about the event and some of the Q&A thing that's on their YouTube channel. You can go check that out. Also, reminder, we're going to the Hall of Fame next month, the awards ceremony. Super looking forward to that. So if anyone out there is going to be there,
yeah,
stop and say hi. Say hi. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Matt, did you have anything to?
No, man. It's good to be back here doing another Skate TV, though. Yeah. So just so everyone knows, we are on Skate TV episode 3. And as you probably know by now, if you've been listening, the episodes of Skate TV that you will find on YouTube are not in any sort of correct chronological order. So what is up there as episode 3, if it's not on our channel, it's not the right episode 3. It's like episode 8 or something like that.
Yes, we've been debunking the other gentleman's
chronology.
I'm just going off my tape, and I taped them in order all on the same tape. So
right. So we do have episode 3 in its entirety up on our page. The only difference between that and the one that's already on YouTube is we have the complete episode, and the one that's been up there and is mislabeled is missing a bit at the end.
Two or three minutes at the end, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to see the entire episode 3 as it aired originally off of Larry's original master VHS tape, go to
recorded on the XP mode or whatever, you know, remember?
Yeah.
How you could change the
so yeah, go to our YouTube channel. It will be up there, and you can see it in its fullness. And yeah, that's about it. Skate TV, we're back.
Yeah, so let's just get Anthony out here and get into it, shall
let's do
we
it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Anthony Pappalardo. All right, we're here with Anthony. Anthony, thanks so much for joining us for some Skate TV shenanigans today.
Awesome. I'm stoked to be back. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. You're so our Animal Chin episode when you were on with Vern, that's one of our most streamed. I don't know what's the how do you describe
played.
The yeah, played, streamed, it's not watched, but that's one of Listen our biggest to. Episodes. So I'm sure yeah. our audience remembers you for sure.
That was way awesome. Back, what, episode 5?
Yeah, that was an early one. Five. Yeah, and this is episode 57.
Yeah, Jesus, man.
I rarely listen back to podcasts because I'm scared of how I sound, but that one, it was so awesome, and it reminded me of being like on a couch at Vern's apartment in Philadelphia and how we'd watch skate videos and just talk shit. So it was really fun and really special because, you know, Vern and all those Philly dudes, they just had nickname or probably still do like had nicknames for everyone. And then, you know, we would go out skating and see those people, like we'd go to California or whatever and be like, holy shit, that's Lever Bar, you know, like, no, it's, you know, like I would see LeVar McBride and think of him as Lever Bar or whatever, you know, it's, so yeah, it was that was really fun. That was awesome.
Nice. So today we're digging into episode 3 of Skate TV. So what's your history with Skate TV? Did you watch it back in the day? Did you think it was cool? Was it cheesy? What were your thoughts or memories about the show?
I had to be like 14 or 15 when it came out. So I was like definitely very cool in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think like even though you're so young, I had been skating for a few years. So I was so obsessed with like knowing everything about skating. And, you know, that's like sort of like right after Rubbish Heap and thinking World is the coolest thing and Powell's corny or whatever.
Yeah.
And Skate TV comes out and it's on Nickelodeon, which is like the channel my younger sister watched. And it was kind of guilty pleasures. But just the concept that there was a skateboarding television show, like how could you not watch it, you know? And I think it was a little guilty pleasure, but also you're watching it every week, you know, like you, mm-hmm. I think it's just really easy to go back and critique everything because we're kind of that generation of like, it's lame to like things. You know, like yeah. Now it's cool to like everything, but like yeah. Our generation was so critical.
Yeah.
Especially in those days.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that much different than 120 minutes or something like that. You know, like it's just the thing you like is on TV. How could you not be excited? And there was, you know, I was thinking about this, like you would catch people at like spots or whatever saying dialogue from Skate TV or whatever. And it's kind of like busted, dude, you watch it too.
Yeah,
you know,
someone did a cool trick and then his buddy called him Style King of the Week.
Yeah definitely. Totally. I think the thing too, like Skate Master Tate being on it, like if you knew about skating, you knew he was super legit, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And like the cast of people that got on was so amazing, it was like hard to be critical of it, even if you know, it's a kid's show. It is a kid's show. And I think the other thing about it was like we would just make mixtapes with the skating, you know, and like remove the interviews and stuff. Cause like after you saw the interview, you cool, whatever, unless it was really funny or something. And we would just make mixtapes cause it was kind of like getting bonus footage from stuff we already liked. So
yeah,
that was, that's what I remember about it. But I was a watcher. I had the VHS tapes. And a quick story. I had like no access to video cameras for a very long time. And a friend of mine that I skated with, he was like had borrowed a video camera from his friend or from his uncle or something. And we were going to film stuff to send to Skate TV. Like we're filming the real shit, you know,
yeah,
and
he
skated with this kid, Jimmy. And I feel bad because I don't remember his last name. He was like 2 years younger than us. And he was so much better. He was like the kid in your town that like, he was the fastest runner. He fucking ruled at basketball. Like he was just great at anything. And he had really good style. And so we had like a, what do you call it? Like we had a run of show. We're like, we're going to start at his house because we would skate this curb in front of his house and this little jump ramp. And then we were going to go, and this will tie back into the episode, and we're going to go down this hill and do a run and then land. And then at the run takes you to this other spot. And he was killing it so much. Like, you know, he had that thing where like the camera was on and he was 10 times better than he really was.
Yeah.
And he did like a kickflip melon off this launch ramp. And, you know, we had the stuff and we're like, oh, later, like we got to edit it or whatever. And my friend's like, yeah, the tape got eaten, man.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Like total bullshit. He just didn't want to be outshined by like a
12-year-old. Oh, no.
Like Chris Brenna too.
Yeah.
So we never sent it in, but I guess it wouldn't have mattered.
That's cool.
Anyways.
So you actually filmed like a skate TV
home viewer segment.
Yeah, like that's cool, totally. Man. Yeah, totally. Very cool.
I wish that existed. It would be so funny to see, you know, like we had outfits and shit. Like we were so about it.
That's so cool, man. Yeah, you and probably tons of other kids did the same thing. Because where else were you gonna possibly get your footage seen at that point in time? You had a good shot of getting a clip or two on a cable show about skateboarding. That was impossible back then. I mean, you know, it was,
that's even your thing. YouTube. Your YouTube is once a week for like 60 seconds or whatever. Because it was like, it felt, for some reason that felt more tangible because you figured if you sent it to a brand, like you don't know what happens. Like the thing just gets lost and like that. I don't know. I think that's like something, there's something very cool about when a new avenue gets opened up in skateboarding, especially at that time. Like it can, you know, like not to be corny, but it can make you think differently and be creative. Like it pushed us to do stuff, you know, like that kid, Jim, was doing stuff I'd never seen him do just because a camera was on, which was like very, it was very cool to see at that time. And like, it made me want a camera, but I just like, I don't know what was a camera back then, like $800. Like I didn't have $8.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let me break down some credits for this episode and then we can get into it a little deeper here. So Binder Entertainment presents Nickelodeon Skate TV. And this episode originally aired in 1990. It's approximately 25 minutes in length. Executive producer Steve Binder, supervising producer Troy Miller. It's directed by Stacy Peralta. The co-director and production designer is C.R. Stesic III. Coordinating producer Mark Hunt. Consulting producer Nathan Pratt. Music director Tay Euler. Music consultant Jerry Hurtado. The editors are Don Hoffman, Dave Miller, and Billy Flicker. Segment directors, Don Hoffman, and Skate TV theme song was by Tay Euler and Dennis Dragon, and it's hosted by Skate Master Tate and Matthew Lynn. So there we go. Brought to you by, plus tons of others. There's like makeup and wardrobe and sound and lighting people. That's pretty crazy. So as always, the show starts out with the intro and theme song. And then towards the end of that, Skate Master Tate does a voiceover. You get the tease of who's going to be on the episode. Anthony, any thoughts on the theme song or the opening?
I would be totally lying if I didn't say that that kind of like hard rocking little jam like gets you pumped.
Yeah,
like it does exactly what a theme song needs to do. It builds the anticipation, and then you know it's going to go into some dialogue and it's going to be like this kind of cringy exchange. And I'm trying to like convey you, unless, I don't even think like if you had like a printed TV guide, it would be like this week, fucking Jeremy Klein and so-and-so. So you're in real time. You're like, who's going to be on? Like,
yeah. Yeah. After a few episodes, you kind of know the format. And so you kind of get ready for like, who's going to be on? You're all excited.
I think that it builds the anticipation. It does exactly what it needs to do, you know? And it was funny, you know, I haven't watched any of these in a long time and going through and just, it like took me back to that feeling of, I don't know what was on before Skate TV, probably You Can't Do That on Television or some shit. Like then you hear the fucking guitar kicking in, you're all psyched.
Yeah. So right out of the intro, Skate Master Tate is walking around the pool and he kicks it over to co-host Matthew Lynn and they introduce the Style King of the Week segment, which I was disappointed you didn't get that distorted weird voiceover that you would get sometimes where it would say Style King of the Week or whatever. That's that's absent here. I was a little bummed. But so Matt introduces an interview with Jim Thebeau.
Dude.
This is awesome. This is post Powell. He's on Santa Monica Airlines here.
Is he? He's still repping Powell hard if he's on SMA at this point.
Yeah, he's on SMA. Yeah.
He's got the cab shirt.
Cab shirt. Talks no about kidding. His mom bought.
I was wondering because I had a note down here like he must have been on his very last days of doing anything with Powell if he was, but I assumed he was still with them in some form or another.
No. Well, I mean, they show
Well, no, because, yeah, because this was 90.
From the.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
The reason for living.
He had models in the 80s.
No, you're right.
The late 80s for sure.
Yeah. Cause the Thibault, whatever the Joker board was 89. Yeah. So yeah. It's interesting that he's repping Powell so hard on this thing. I wonder if that's just a nod to Stacy or nod to Tommy being there.
Tommy's there. He's got the same cab shirt on too.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
They outfitted him. Who knows?
Yeah,
they might have.
There was a whole laundry list at the end of like clothes provided by like British Knights and Stussy. Before we get into Jim, in watching this and like having worked on, you know, like smaller TV productions and video productions, the thing that like didn't come through as a kid that I realize now is that like Matthew Lillard is really good on camera and fills in all the dead air. And like, he doesn't waver when people are messing with him and stuff like that. It's like, you see that kind of thing that, oh, this dude is like, he's pro. He's, even if he was like very in the infancy of his career, like he's good at this. This dude is good on camera. And I think skateboarders, like where, you know, people who skate, like we always feel like we can do something better. And then a camera goes on you and you watch how people freeze, or people that you think have like tons of charisma, it doesn't convey. And it was like, I think, I don't want to say necessary evil, but I think he was a really good engine for the show, is just keeping it going and keeping it light and saying fucking weird, like stupid things like, Jim T the soul monster, like I don't know what that means, but it kind of rules, like, just, you know, he just was trying to say something cooler and soul monster came out.
Yeah
I like especially as the show goes on, like I feel like he and Tate played off each other really well. Seems like they got comfortable, and then he just fell more into his role on the show. You know, in the first couple episodes you could tell he's nervous or he feels like a fish out of water. Yeah, but definitely as the show goes on. Yeah, but as the show goes on, he steps up, definitely.
Yeah, and he's pretty Larry King with the interview, man. He gets right to it. None of these four sentence questions, you know. It's like I thought that interview was really interesting with Jim, because it is like it's so Jim. Like they talk about like talking to people about their attitudes and not being harsh on people who are just getting into skating. Like Jim's the same person. And it really made me think that, like, you know, there was this like point in the 90s where like being mean was so cool and brands were really thriving off being as like subversive as they could. And I think if you really look back at Real was doing interesting stuff with their graphics and, or even like giving you six wheels for the price of four. Yes. Like they were doing subversion in a way that was a little more positive, but wasn't vanilla, and still doing it to this day. Like, you know, looking at all, and not to make this like a commercial for Deluxe, but it's like Wheel Innovations with Spitfire, and like Real has those new Easy Rider boards. Like, I think, you know, over time you just see people who are in it, and Jim even says, like, when he's done, I'll probably be doing something in skating. Like, yeah. Very true, sir. Correct.
Yes.
So, but I have to say I've been able to work with Jim on a bunch of things, and it's really awesome to see people who are, I looked up to, became mentors, and are still like conducting themselves in the way that you wished everyone you met did, which is, you know, it's not fair to put those expectations on people, but when people deliver on those expectations, it's really an amazing thing. So I just thought it was so cool to see, like, wow, there's nothing like really cringe in this. It's like super genuine.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Jim is the fucking best. I mean, like, he's such a great ambassador for skateboarding. He always has been. Like, he's always been a positive dude, super nice, easy to talk to. Like, I remember once I got a real board, and it showed up and it was warped, which I thought was kind of odd, but it was definitely, there's a twist in it. And I emailed Jim, and he was like, yo, send me your address. And like a few days later, there's a brand new board, tons of stickers, bunch of other stuff, little air fresheners and little whatever goofy stuff he tossed in there. But I was like, that's so cool. Cause he could have just been like, ah, oh, fuck off, you know? But I think Jim, like, and just the fact that he was willing to go on there and put on a Steve Caballero shirt and get on this kid's show and talk about not being hateful and you know, being positive, and it's so on point, and it's still the dude he is, like you said. If you follow that guy, that's him today, you know.
Yeah,
he's the best, man.
MLK quotes flashing on the screen, like he yeah, I know some people are, I think, are very aware of the platform they're on and how to use it. And but the other thing too is, like, I think what gets a little lost in over time is, like, Jim maybe didn't have like as much footage as other people, and he's like had a lot of amazing photos. But if you go back and look, like, you know, Jim skating with like Gons, not as Julian, like he's ripping with those people, and there's little bits in there like super progressive flip tricks and really good style. And you know, I think what gets lost is like how, like, Jim was a really innovative skater and a powerful skater, and, you know, obviously like a natural on mini ramps and ramps too. But, you know, that part, like, I think it's a part in the, what's the first Santa Cruz Wheels video, Speed Freaks. Mm-hmm. I always loved his part in that. And I think it feels like he was always caught in a transition of a company or something, where, like,
yes,
even like when Reel started, he had his part, and then he kind of like him and Tommy retired themselves, and then they had parts later. But, you know, we didn't, I guess this ties into the age thing that we'll probably talk about. Like, no one had the foresight to think that you would want to see a part from someone in their 30s or late 20s back then. Like, you were, Larry and I were texting, like, Hensley was retired at like 21, 22. And that's like one of the best, most progressive skaters ever. So Jim being 25 when this was happening, like, I remember even that tripping out. Like, age comes up in this episode a lot, and it'll come up later.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think that speaks to where skateboarding was, because just recently I was reading a post about someone talking about a current pro who, and they were saying, like, don't write him off yet. Like, he hasn't had a defining part. He's only 25. you know, like,
yeah,
so it's just so different, which is awesome that careers can be longer. And that, you know, I also think because skateboarding is so much older, like, there are people who just want to see their heroes, or, you know, the people that they grew up with, just do basic things, and that's totally fine. You know what I mean? Like, I think that speaks to skateboarding being an art form. You're not like, fuck Jackson Pollock, he's too old. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you just want to see the art. You just want to see people doing it, and it gives you that feeling. So that was something that stood out to me. And not to put Jim on blast for his age, but that was on the screen, dude. I, you know, wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How about this, like, janky, looks like a bench pulled out of the back of a cargo van or something that they're sitting on that ultimately fails?
Yeah, with the pranks.
Yeah, Tommy G got splashed him with some water, bucket of water. Pretty hijinks on set.
Yeah, that thing bails twice, man. He got wrecked twice. Like,
yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that might be one of my favorite skate TV moments.
They show the freeze frame where the water is like just hitting his face. It looks pretty funny.
It also made me want those. He had the red and black Nautis shoes that looked like the Jordans, you know, mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Those were impossible to get in the US, and they were super expensive because they were like basically imports, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that was like a $90 shoe back then, which is, you know, now that's normal, but, you know, plug it into the inflation calculator, that's like a $200 shoe back then. But yeah, I always thought those were the sickest looking shoes ever.
Well, true to form, they spelled his last name wrong like three different times.
Yeah.
So he cannot catch a break, dude. Getting his name spelled right.
I want to start an Instagram with skateboarding spelling errors,
dude,
and then compile them all into a zine. Yeah. There's some amazing ones.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
But yeah, this part rules, dude.
Any other comments before we move on? Jim, shout out Jim T for being so awesome. Yeah.
He's the greatest. It's cool they talk about, like, kind of the San Francisco Hill Bomb kind of runs that they were we alluded to earlier. Like, I thought that was cool, like, hearing about how they skated in San Francisco where they'd take the bus up to the top of the hill and then just, like, hit this run and just do it, like, two or three times a day, just slapping and doing whatever. And I thought that was cool. You know, Sick Boys will always be one of my favorite videos. So anytime I get to see some Jim T footage or hear him talk about that San Francisco scene back then too, goddamn.
I think that speaks to, like, again, like, watching this thing with a, like, half cynical, But then also being like, oh, they're talking about doing these runs. There's hills like where we are. We can do that too. And then going out and doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it reminds me of going to San Francisco for the first time and being on the plane and being excited, but then also having anxiety because I know I'm gonna have to skate certain hills and with people who are way fucking better than me, and like thinking about like, oh, dude, I'm trying not to toe drag, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
And to that point, like Vern and I think it was just Vern and I, might maybe we're with someone else, but we were going to bomb a hill to go to Embarcadero, but go to Pier 7 because like Embarcadero was done by then. It's like 94.
Yeah.
And we see this like old Cadillac pull up and start talking shit, and it was Phelps. And he was
no
like,
way.
Yeah, it was Phelps, and I forget who he was with someone else, but he was just like, come on, man, you fucking came here for this. Don't drag your fucking toe, charge it, go down to the fucking spot, live it, but don't be a fucking baby, do it, you know? We're like, it was so surreal, but it was like, okay, that, like, we literally got, initiated, and it was like, okay, well, I'm probably breaking my arm now, but let's go.
Yeah.
Exactly what you would expect to hear if Jake Phelps rolled up on you.
Yeah, and it was like, I don't know, again, a different time, but like that sort of like, it wasn't negative. It was, and I'm not just like saying this reflectively, like it was definitely like, dude, you're gonna do this shit. This is what you're fucking, that's what he said. He's like, this is what you're here for. And like, yeah, he was fucking with us, but you know, it was like that stoke that got you hyped, you know what I mean? But it was funny, within like 2 hours of being in San Francisco, we saw Phelps. Like,
that's so great.
I forget at the top of what hill, but yeah. And then just charge down Market Street.
That's still happening, man. Some of that shit that you see now, that GX crew or whatever, fucking
yeah, that's bananas. That is crazy. You can watch that New York Times like interactive video. That thing makes me sick. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. I can't handle it. Those shout out to those dudes are amazing.
Yeah,
just coming up with it's interesting. Like, you think in skateboarding, like people have kind of figured out everything, and then it's just about doing stuff harder. And then like that crew comes along, and you're like, no, you figured out like an entirely different way to do this. And I was staying out there like 4 years ago, and I was talking to this dude who had all these marks on his wall. He was like right near Haight Street, and he was talking to me about those dudes and how he can't skate stop his house, which is you know, he's like, I'll put a fucking thing on and it looks ugly, they'll come and unscrew it. Like, he's like, now I just deal with that. I just repaint the fucking wall every once in a while, like I'm done.
Wow.
And, you know, $4 million, I'm sure it's like a $4 million, you know, home too.
Crazy. All right, next up, Fresno segment. This is really interesting. This is like just a group of kids. When I'm watching this, I was just like, it just kind of took me back to like, it's Saturday, you're with your buds in the schoolyard, just goofing around and skating.
Yeah, this is my favorite skate TV segments are these ones, like the posse videos, like mm-hmm. we're gonna go to wherever and visit with the whatever crew. And it's that, dude, it's that, we all had them. Those summer days where you'd be no job, you know.
Yeah, no water, dude. You didn't drink water,
dude. Exactly. Yeah. We've talked about this before. Yeah, I used to go out all day in the middle of summer, dude. I'm telling you, man, you're so right. I don't know how we did it. It wasn't like humidity was any better back then. Mm-hmm. We go out all day. I don't remember like ever stopping to like eat or drink or do anything. We just skate.
Yeah, I watch that show Naked and Afraid, and they're always, the voiceover was always like, after 3 days without water, the human body will shut down. I'm like, I think I could have done that back then. No problem.
Yeah.
Maybe have like a Dr. Pepper once.
I was going to say like a Crystal Pepsi or some shit.
Yeah. And now today it's like after about 15 minutes of skating, I'm like, oh, where are we going to go get a burrito? You know? So
yeah. It's like, yeah. Every time I go skating now, I'm like, okay, I got my skate key. I got my jug of water. I got my this, I got my that, I got my bushings, I got whatever. And like back then it was like, I might have had like a Vision hip pack with like a, I don't even know, like a Twinkie in it or something.
Yeah, a little chunk of wax maybe.
Yeah, a little chunk skate of wax. Key. Elephant key.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm worried like where my phone is in case I fucking injure myself or have a heart, like some fucking issue, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got to make sure like I can call my, like someone, you know? Yeah. Like I skate by myself a lot too. And I think about it, which is kind of terrifying.
There's not a lot of context given to this segment. Like, why do they send a camera guy up to all the way up to Fresno to kind of, you know,
get I wonder if this was just submitted and they used it as a whole segment.
And who are these people? Like the editing's pretty cool. So it feels like it was,
maybe it
like
wasn't.
They went up with a couple cameras or something. Like
that
was I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, who are these people? Why are they here? They don't have names. And then that one person does like a front 50 on an outledge to front shove it out, which is like a pretty gnarly move for an average person, or who knows, that person could have been sponsored. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize anyone, but
me neither.
I was going to ask if you guys recognized anybody from that park.
I didn't either. They flash their names or they scroll across. I wrote them down. Nikki, Tyrone, Graham, Sia, Omar, James, Nadir, Eric, John, and Bobby. And that's it seems like there's more people than that, but
yeah. The other thing is like to your point of like how well it captures like a Saturday session. Like I saw a lot of Airwalk 540s and like that's such a specific shoe to a specific time, you know, like that shoe was so popular. It was like kind of indestructible. You could skate it for like 6 months.
Lace Savers had the Lace Savers on it.
Just tons of valuable plastic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, those Ollie guards were like bulletproof, I think.
That was a cool section. Driveway quarter pipe too, again, something you just don't see enough of these days.
Yeah,
it's very awesome. Common, very common for the time.
Yeah, it's funny, like looking at that stuff, like we would come up with all these different ways to bring stuff around, like put roller skate wheels on a box or a ramp or whatever, because you're like transporting this shit everywhere. And I feel so dumb now when I watch videos, because it's like people just figured out how to like pop up a grate or like do everything.
Yes.
We were like lugging this shit around, like probably risking a hernia, whereas like everyone, it's like some of the things were so obvious that we just didn't think of to do, you know? Like even I was trying to figure this out, like when did waxing become a common thing? Like there was just a day where it was like, now you wax stuff, but before that you would just go faster. You know what I mean? Like it's, like, was there a thing in Thrasher? But like, how did people spread waxing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It was not a thing back when I was skating in the 80s. Like, nobody had wax. It just was not a thing.
Yeah, certain types of concrete just seemed to slide better than others. And when you would find one that would slide, you'd be like, oh, this is the spot. This is the new spot, you know?
Yeah. Like, you weren't, it's just like, now it's like it's so easy to find a tutorial to show you like how to make anything skatable, but like why didn't I think to file something down with a rub brick or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like it's you think of like how many amazing spots you probably overlooked just because the concrete didn't, whatever that material was, it didn't grind initially. You're like, eh, whatever, keep it moving.
I mean, I remember going to like try to board slide on curbs and you just stick. You're like, well, fuck that thing. Move on to the next one. Find the one that slides a little better, you know?
Yeah, Anthony, you mentioned the popping up a grate for like a ramp. You know, when I first time I saw it, I was like, oh my God, my town has hundreds of those. I could have, you know, probably done all kinds of cool stuff with that. Just never thought about it.
Yeah, the first place I saw that was Love Park, when people would pop up the tiles. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty revelatory. And I remember, I think I was even talking with Vern, because he was telling me how people were doing, like, it was more than just doing stuff over the cans. Like they were using the little things to like do harder tricks onto the ledges and then come back into another slanted part. So
yeah,
I feel like that really set it off, where people were like, oh wait, yeah, that, like, we could do that with grates. And then in New York, like all the subway stuff where, you know, just recently in the recent static video, there's a ton of like cool footage, and like Jamal has some footage on some of those like really weird ones down near the courthouse, which is really creative and awesome.
All right, next segment, we've got Christian Asoy in the pool with Taters, and this is interesting. Hosoy's back. So in episode one, we've got, you know, that at home with Hosoy segment. Two episodes later, he's back. Like, the industry is kind of small. There are a few guys that they kind of had to recycle through different parts of this series.
Yeah, he's back with a new brand, dude. Tough Skates.
I had
Tough
forgot Skates. About Tough in a way, I think, until he said it. I guess I think of Milk, but that comes a little later.
Yeah, Focus and Milk. And I never knew his middle name until I rewatched Sasha. This. So there's that, yeah.
Yeah, you get some fun facts on the screen. He's only 23 years old here, which is crazy.
He looks so fucking cool. How cool is that, dude?
Yeah.
Like, he just looks so... When you talk about... You know, talking about like made to be on camera, like he's like a human soundbite. He just looks cool. Like there's no bad angle. He's like got this, like one of those people that like probably as a baby, he had that physique. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, dude's just like,
he's got an 8-pack chest or whatever, stomach.
I thought it was interesting how like it was a very atypical Hosoi interview because he was talking about like changing the brand name to get the skaters more motivated because they weren't like he didn't come out and say it, but like they weren't skating for Hosoi, you know?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Like, so he's like, yeah, so maybe he was like a little like didn't want to like, yeah we changed it to Tough, you know, so the riders are more motivated. And he was talking about like the ecosystem of skating, of like not worrying about deals. Like it felt like he must have come out of like kind of a rough, not rough, but like, like skating's changing, Bert's kind of fading a little bit, it's 90, riders are this and that, and it's like, okay, we're going to change it to Tough Skates, and it's a little more about the riders and stop worrying about the contracts and just skate and shit. But he's like kind of giving some sage advice, which was really awesome and not what I expected when I went back and rewatched it.
Yeah, I don't know that too many kids watching Nickelodeon would really be able to relate to Christian Hosoi being like, don't worry too much about your business dealings and this and that.
But at the same time, when now think of it. Now it's so relevant because kids are thinking about, like, younger people are thinking about like
monetization
and deals and how to monetize everything. Yeah. And he's like really like kind of heartfelt, like just
have fun.
Just skate, have fun, and wear your equipment. I'm like, who is this dude, man?
Yeah. The equipment thing makes me think he was maybe asked to talk about wearing your pads, because that's another thing we've been discovering through the the series so far. It's a lot of safety talk on the show. Mm-hmm. But he does skating this pool, super insane. He does this Ollie Stalefish grab that is like so high and tweaked and just bonkers.
One of the best styles of any discipline of skating ever. And, you know, I never saw Hosoi, like heyday Hosoi, but having seen him in person, it's like the same feeling of certain bands. You haven't experienced the band unless you've seen the band. It's the same thing, like the body English and him on the deck, even like, you know, maybe even like 10 years ago was, I don't know, maybe like 15 years ago was the first time I saw him skate, and just like, how he's skating the whole time, even if he's not on the ramp or in the pool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so incredible. I don't know. We're so lucky that like in skateboarding, like you watch, for example, like baseball is doing really poorly right now. Like they're having a hard time getting younger people interested. And there's all these amazing players. Like Mike Trout is one of the best players ever. And no one kind of cares. Like he doesn't have the gravitas of like a Michael Jordan or whatever. Like when it goes down statistically, Mike Trout's one of the best people to ever play the game. At any point in skateboarding, we have like 20 Jordans. It's great. Like you know, people throw, it's overused now. Like everyone's goated or the goat, and it's like, how can you have 20 goats? But like we kind of have 20, 30, 40 goats at any time in skating, and it's really, you know, a lot of people have talked about it, how they thought like these people were fake because of their names and stuff. And it really, like I never knew anyone with the last name Mountain or Hawk or Hosoi. And, you know, they're like fucking comic book characters, but they all live up to it in one way or another. And we still have those folks today. It's really, it's pretty incredible. But yeah, I mean, Christian, the short amount we get in that pool, it's like gold.
Hosoi is undoubtedly the style goat of skateboarding, like without doubt, right? Like who else would even come close? There's other stylish people do, but Hosoi has just got it, right? I mean, nobody could touch that dude's style.
It's the whole that dude is the whole package. It's just some people, I don't know if they are aware they're in the moment, but it's like they were supposed to do this their entire life. And like that dude from getting like hair extensions to like how totally. He would cut up his clothes or like
yeah.
even understanding a graphic, you know, it's so simple. But I mean, if you think, you know, there's a lot of great like full board graphics, but like the most iconic graphics of skateboarding are like within the 14. Mm-hmm. And they're usually mm-hmm. like some type of icon. It's either a face or a icon that just you
symmetrical,
get
yeah. you know, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, just the hammerhead circle, upside down triangle yeah. thing, whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. It's funny. He talks about kind of the upcoming generation. That's the kids that are coming up mm-hmm. behind him. And it's like Omar Hassan and Danny Way. And I think what is Buster Halterman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny to think that back then, like those were the, like the up and coming kids that were giving Hassoy a run for his money, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's gotta be a lot like, you know, now, like if you think of like what those folks were doing, like they were doing a lot of like, they were pretty early on like flipping to grab and stuff like that. And using the coping as almost like a ledge, you know what I mean?
Right.
And to think that like you weren't like Hassoy wasn't that much older. Well, Danny Way maybe, but like Omar, he's not that much older than Omar, right? Or Buster Halterman. But the starting point for those younger folks, because like, we got to remember, like Omar was supposed to be the next, not that he didn't have an amazing career, but Omar was like the shit on the cover of everything. Mm-hmm. ATV, like I think skating just didn't go in the ATV lane, you know? Right. But like Omar ripped on everything and they were really touting him as like, and he said it in his documentary, like the next dude, you know what I mean? And it's interesting to see like how much skating progressed, like a younger skater was doing these progressive moves. And I'm sure that's how folks feel now, you know, like people now, like they always attribute it to like the Tony Hawk effect. Like, well, if you grew up playing these games, you would just think it's possible. It's like, well, these dudes were doing it before, like, these people were doing it before the video games. They're progressing skateboarding. Danny Way didn't play video games to learn how to skate, you know?
Right.
Yeah. He also rocks the Jay Adams flyaway helmet pretty well. I always thought that would be a hard, I don't know. I was just like sometimes you'd see it and like those look goofy, but so he's got it locked in pretty good.
Yeah. Not on that dude, man.
Yeah.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, next segment up, skate shop segment with Lance. This is kind of like a viewer favorite, these skate shop segments. And Lance is the only other guy besides Tate and Matt Lynn to appear on every episode. So here we go. And this one is about shoe repair. And it starts out with this Lance character drawing on the bottom of Matthew Lynn's foot, which is really bizarre.
Think about that. That means that at some point in time, Lance Mountain held Matthew Lillard's foot and drew himself on the bottom of it. Like that happened.
Yeah. I'd get that tattooed. If Lance drew on my foot, maybe I might get that tattooed in.
I feel like this one goes off the rails.
Oh, is this
quick.
About the
oh,
same?
Oh yeah. Yes, it does. I think this might've been one, who knows what order they recorded these in, but this seems like
probably towards the end.
Yeah, dude, it's late at night. They've been doing this all day. They've filmed, you know, 15 segments in a row, and they're just like going off the rails, slap happy. They're tired. They want to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
But it is great. Yeah. So good.
Were you big, both of you big shoe repair people? Like,
oh, yeah.
Stuff last super hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never did the shoe glue, but I would super glue my, you know, like when the side of the shoe would kind of come loose from the sole. Like I was really mm-hmm. big about super gluing and yeah, but it was mostly duct tape repair. I never got too techy with it.
Yeah, I would I would find pieces of other shoes that would make like an ollie patch and glue it on. You know,
yeah,
that look cool, or
yeah,
you
yeah,
cut
yeah.
it to like.
Yeah.
I remember trying to do this, and then when it came out later, I was stoked. But I was like, "There's got to be a way to put black dye into the shoe goo so it doesn't look as gross."
Oh yeah.
And then
Yeah,
later they made black shoe goo, but at
that's
the
right.
time, like,
Yeah.
I had like a failed experiment. It just looked like tie dye, like psychedelic. It looked even worse. But
It's amazing how quick you would go through. Man, I remember getting a pair of Vision canvas high tops. I don't know what I was thinking. I had a bunch of them over the years, but I skated in them, and like one day and they're just gone. Like one session and they're just ripped to shreds.
Remember, like, we used to call it the Rocky Mountain Special. Like, you go to the skate shop and like you knew at some point you knew not to get the colored grip tape because color, like blue grip tape or pink grip tape, was rougher. And then the shop, like, I don't even know what the main brand, but it might have been Jessup at that time. But like, if they didn't have Jessup, you got Rocky Mountain Special, and you could see, like, when the sun hit it, you could see like mica.
Crystals.
Yeah. And you knew that shit was taking your shoe out. Like, it was such a
yeah.
blowout.
Yeah.
I and remember. Bolts too, dude. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Like the bolts weren't flush at the time.
Yeah,
like,
they
that
had
was
the
another.
Little...
Well, the bridge bolts. I mean,
oh,
bridge bolts
yeah.
tear your shit up too.
I remember.
You know what? I miss the H Street grip. You remember that H Street die cut grip with
oh,
the
yeah,
little
with the arrows,
crossed arrows?
Yeah.
Shit was awesome.
I remember on my shoes, my push foot, I would push like a hole into the, you know, you just wear it out.
The sole.
And then I would take yeah. like an old shoe and I would cut out like the top toe part, like a half circle type thing. And then I would shoe goo that onto the bottom of my shoe.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
I never went that far.
That didn't feel good though, because you're now the sole of your shoe is like lopsided. You know, it's thicker in the where the cover the hole. I don't know.
I remember the Airwalk NTS. They were like almost, except for the sole, they're all one color. So there was like green, yellow, black, or whatever. And like someone in a mag was wearing two different ones, and that was like really cool. But I knew these kids who skated that were the same size, and like one was goofy, one was regular.
Oh, they traded.
They traded, and it was like a thing. You know what I mean? Like, you see two kids with like one fucking looking like the Oakland Athletics, like a yellow and a green shoe pushing around the park.
That's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
You can go to kariyuma.com and buy your left or right extra.
That's right. You can
shoes.
Buy a single shoe. Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You wear out one, you just buy one shoe.
And they'll plant half a tree maybe somewhere. We don't know.
Yeah.
There you go. This, oh, well, this segment, let's talk about the segment for a minute. So they, okay. Lance kind of goes through the, they got a bunch of shoes sitting there, and it looks like there's like some skate shoes and there's like some, like
shoes out of Stacy Closet,
shit.
I think.
Yeah. And then they just start like duct taping each other's mouths shut, and
Lance shoe-goos
tries
his hands
to,
together.
Lance shoe-goos his hands together. They, it's hilarious. It's probably one of the best segments ever in the show.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love it. And then everyone off camera is laughing. You can hear everybody like,
yeah.
I think you can even hear Stacy.
Stacy
I think he's
giggles.
There. Because
yeah.
You can hear the Stacy laugh in the background.
Yeah.
We have determined that this was shot in Stacy's office in Silver Lake. And apparently it was done, correct me if I'm wrong, it was just done in one day, like every single
yep.
segment. Yeah.
I'm back in the theory that this was the last one. They were just so
yeah.
done.
I think it was, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they talk about all the stuff we just talked about. Shoe goo, lace savers, ollie pads. They get into all the
weeds duct tape
on
the inside so the goop doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Tate gets so kind of heated, and he's like, "I'm taking this over. This
yeah.
is how you do it.
This is how you do
yeah.
it." And
then
starts...
they just outro it. They don't mention yeah. Lance. Like, this is shoe yeah. repair with Tate and Matt.
Well, Lance is sitting in the background with his mouth taped shut, like
yeah.
he's a hostage or something like that. So good.
Super good. Next up, Jason Rogers on the Skate TV mini ramp. 16 years old here. Mind blowing. Just turned pro at 16. For H Street, mind blowing.
I love another ATV, dude. This wow,
dude.
Jason Rogers, go back, look at the string of parts he had and the level he like. Start with the vert and look at his level on vert, and then go to street in any era. And there's, I don't know why Jason Rogers, I think, gets left out of that ATV conversation, and he should be top five easily up there with like Alf and Denny Way. I mean. Mm-hmm. So technical, so good, amazing style. Like he does that ollie to grab the fakie that's like huge out on that pretty mellow mini and looks amazing. And again, 16 years old, tons of power.
Yeah.
That's that was this one. For some reason, watching it back, like I was like, whoa, all this stuff stuck in my head because he was talking about like not really going to school and having like some weird tutor or some shit and like
Yeah.
making money and how like his dad skated, but his dad doesn't skate anymore because he's 40. Like all
I
that.
Love stuff.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of is like, why would my dad skate? He's 40. You know,
yeah.
It's like the age thing you mentioned earlier, how time, you know. Yeah, definitely dudes are still skating in their 40s.
But, you know, back then, man, like nobody was 40 in skateboarding. It just wasn't the thing. The oldest skateboarder was what,
18,
late 20s or something like that. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, even mathematically, it was hard to be the oldest skater. Like the thing really only popped off like hard in the 70s.
You right. know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Tony Alva was still like in his early 30s or late 20s back then, I guess, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
But
this really has, this part has like everything, like the backwards starter hat, long hair. His favorite band is the Chili Peppers.
Yes,
it's just fucking, it's awesome.
A 1990 time capsule.
Yeah, I talked to Jason briefly about this to see if he had any memories. And he had said like they had just gone there with Tony Mag to skate the pool. Like that's okay. All they were excited for. And someone pulled him aside and was just like, hey, do you want to film this thing? And when I was talking to him, I was like, so your first interview, like your first real interview before like your Transworld spotlight was on TV. It's like, yeah, it was crazy. And people would recognize me. Like he even a couple of years later took a photo with some people at Embarcadero when he was skating EMB.
Wow.
Because people were like, you're that dude from TV on Nickelodeon. And he was super embarrassed because, I mean, think of how fucking cool that time was, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy. It's funny you mentioned the starter hat because I remember specific trips to the mall. Like I got to go get a new starter hat because I got these cool Airwalks. So now I need a new starter hat that matches the shoes. Had to get the full starter kit going.
Yeah, you get the Matt Lynn trick calls in this segment.
Yes, I didn't think we were going to get it. It kind of came late in the segment.
Yeah.
He's getting there. He's getting there with the trick calling.
Yeah, there wasn't any glaring issues I didn't see.
Yeah. I'd probably
I was more swept up in his delivery. I felt like if I had no skate sounds and I just had a list of his trick calls, I could fall asleep faster. That should be an app.
Oh man.
Super good. That's cool. So Jason just got put on the spot. Boom. Here, have a seat on this Hosoi deck chair and Matt Lynn's gonna interview you.
Yeah, he didn't even know Hosoi was on the episode because of the and that was like his favorite skater growing up, you know, so he didn't know till it aired, like, holy shit, I'm on an episode with this boy.
Oh, that's cool.
That's
but
awesome.
He was like, it's crazy because he caught the tail end of the 80s money. So he was like, you know, I'm sure he's fine with saying it. Like he was in school and doing this like broken up schedule so he could go compete because like the competitions were such a part of like the whole thing back then and filming. And you know, like at one point he realized like I make more than a teacher. You know, granted, we pay teachers shitty in this country, but, you know, imagine being 16 and realizing like, you know, you just filed your fucking taxes and like, whoa, I make real money, you know? So he was making that real H Street money back in the day. And now Jason has this Chuhai company. So it's like a Japanese, like a alcoholic seltzer company that's doing really well and still skating. But yeah, I went back and watched some of his stuff, especially that Risk It part where it's like broken up into everything he skates and he skates to Bad Brains and
those front foot impossibles.
He does a three flip and it's still shaped board era, you know. He does a 360 flip down just like a three stair, but it's perfect. And that, you know, those little things back then, like anything that wasn't a stock trick, like stood out so well. But yeah, awesome person, very positive person. And kind of, you know, one of those people from the child star era.
yeah. I don't even, you know, he said he's 16. I don't think I realized he was that young. You know, I would have said maybe he's like, you know, if I watched the 8th Street video, I would be like, oh, this dude's probably like 18 or 19 or something.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, they weren't doing the close-ups like they do now. Everyone I saw in a video was just 18 to me. Like they're just older. They're all this same amorphous age of just older and cooler than me.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we're checking out Venture Trucks being made at the, I guess this is Ermaco. Did they make them at Ermaco? And I didn't give much thought to how trucks were made, so this was kind of fascinating. I've seen wheels and boards get made like till the cows come home. I never gave truck manufacturing much thought. This is pretty cool.
Did it give anyone like a flashback to like Sesame Street when they'd have that weird shit of like showing you how something was made? Like that's
Totally.
what I
Yeah.
But it takes any of the glamour you might have thought came with working for a truck company and
Yeah, this looks
throws it out the
pretty.
window.
Looks like some
Working at a
biohazards going on or something.
smeltering. Yeah,
Yeah.
totally.
I don't know. I thought it looked like I was like really impressed, like because everything seemed, especially now, like you see like boards getting made because like it feels like skateboarding smaller, even though it's not, and everything feels so personal, like it's just some person shaping the board, and like that shit looked like, you know, the people making it definitely aren't skaters. They're like rugged factory workers, and almost
Right.
looked like you could have told me that was like communist Russia or some shit, you know.
Yeah,
And
the
also
con
of note, that's before the holes moved back, you know, so
That's right. Yeah.
Venture was the first to do it. So I was like just tripping up. It's just funny that like 90 time capsule, it's like right 90 is right before every single thing changed in skating into kind of what it is now. And 90 is sort of like the last, like it literally, it's like the end of the decade and a beginning of a new decade, and like but everything is about to change, and you know, in a super dramatic way.
Yeah, we talked about it on the other episodes, but you like 1 year later, you probably couldn't even do the show. It was just too chaotic and you couldn't get all these people to show up on set anymore. So, oh, the workers wearing a lot of Thrasher sweatshirts here. Does Fausto come through one day and just start, here's a sweatshirt, here's a sweatshirt.
They probably knew they were getting filmed. They're like laced everyone up, or they got the slightly irregulars or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. The seconds. And at the end of the segment, they've got that little POV cam on the bottom of the board. And I was just like, wow, that, it's not a GoPro, but someone's got some tiny camera to mount on the bottom of a skateboard, which was kind of cool to see people being innovative with the filming techniques and stuff.
I think those were gull wings, though, on that board.
I didn't notice.
I think
Yeah,
this
probably.
the segment, it just made me wonder, like, what was the concept of the show when you really think about it? Like, it gets a little like psychedelic for a minute because they're just like, the flow's kind of, you know, there's the segments or whatever, but it's like just kind of random, like watching trucks be poured or whatever. But I guess it's like giving you that, like, hey, man, this is like, this is how it's all done. Like we're giving you everything soup to nuts, which is
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
it's pretty awesome.
It kind of reminds me of like, you know, what would be like the video magazine format to come, you know what I mean? Like the 411 kind of vibe or whatever, where it was like, let's take what we put in a magazine and put it in a video. So we have the interview and we have the product feature and we have the how-to and the how it's made. I
Yeah,
don't know, you know.
definitely.
It reminded me when we were working on one of the Jenkum books, I was having an email exchange with Dave Carney about something he wanted to do for, you know, he's like, oh, well, it's print. I want to do something interesting. And he's like, one of the ideas that I kind of wish he had done if he had had time as well. Like he did an amazing piece for us, but he was like, you know what's underrated in skateboarding? Bolts. He's like, you know, where the fuck did they come from? They don't really change. They, if you don't have them, you get fucked up. Like your board's gonna fall off. And he's like, I just want to do an essay on bolts. And I'm like, that's fucking amazing. You
Yeah, that's true.
know?
Oh, that's amazing.
Did you remember T-bolts?
Of
Do you guys remember
course, I
T-bolts?
had them. Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Those
had
things
a
would
couple pairs.
mess your shoes up too.
Yeah, I've still got the stickers.
Nice.
I was told to avoid them. There were certain things that I irrationally avoided just based on like elders telling me like you can't do that or whatever. And
Right.
now like pretty much T-bolts are back because I think it's Ace makes like a I guess it'd be called like a bevel or whatever, where you can like
Yeah.
tighten your bolts without, you know, like a Phillips or Allen
Yeah.
head.
Yeah.
I had good luck with mine. I had some friends where it would, the, would like strip out and then spin, you know, they're trying to tighten it. And the, I don't know, whatever you call that bevel would just spin around and like, carve your big hole in your board.
Yeah. That's why it was always seemed sketchy to me.
Yeah.
You'd have to do that thing where you wriggle your truck off and just break the bolt to get it off.
Yeah.
Like dudes told me never to get G&S trucks, but some kid at my school sold them to me for $10. And I was like, dude, these are amazing. They're like Z rollers, but they don't sound like shit. Like they're the most like mind blowing truck for like maybe a month, you know?
That was my first, those were my ugly. First trucks. That was my first ones, a hot pink G&S.
I had a hot pink and a blue. I don't even know where this, like, it was just this Hesher dude I went to school with, and he would like, he was pretty rad. Like he was like the, everything but drugs dealer. Like he would just come in and sell shit like mini trucks.
That's amazing, dude.
Shout out Steve Gatto if you're listening, dude. Thank you for the trucks. I remember you, man.
Nice. All right, next up, we've got a skate safety PSA with Ray Underhill driving a big camper truck.
Giant camper.
Yeah, this cruising vessel, he calls it. He's so well-spoken and like kind of lighthearted and funny here. He's just, I don't know, class act all around.
Like, how did this segment come to pass? Like, how did that happen? Were they like, yo, just, we're going to fucking sit up on this hillside and we want you to just like drive your camper up this mountain road and you'll stop and then we'll come down and you'll talk about wearing your safety gear and then we'll film you driving away. It's the weirdest thing. Like, how did it happen?
I don't know.
It made me think, like, really, you know, obviously, like, Stacy had a relationship and knew how folks were on camera, but it really was incredible picking people to be on camera and how they're, like, all, you know, the interviews are always going to be a wild card because, you know, anything can happen, right? Like, you might not like the person shoving a microphone in your face, but everyone, it's such, this is such a TV show. Like, it should have kept going because a great show, like, they spent time on the set, like, everyone's perfectly doing their role, even when it's just, as you said, it's so random. It's like, here's Ray Underhill just in a fucking camper, you know, but it's great.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, it's super good. All right, then we're in the deep end with Skate Master Tate. And, you know, I mentioned it before, but this is probably my favorite segment of the show because I knew I was going to get to see a preview of a skate video that I may or may not have seen yet. And well, let's just go. So we get beef of the week, and this is scary, dude. Hawk like somehow ends up upside down on a fast plant to fakie and then somehow reverts himself. That could have gone really bad, that one. And this is probably the most, the biggest slam that we've seen yet. The other two were like, I don't pretty know, tame. More like tame. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got trick of the week with Steve Schneer. Does the perfect ho-ho backside
fully,
in,
fully
invert.
Clothed Steve Schneer.
Yeah, he's not a naked ho-ho this time, like in the foundation video.
What does he call it? A hospital?
Yeah, because you end it up in the hospital in. If you slam,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yep. And then the great home viewer video segment. And Anthony, you went a little deep on some research on this one. What did you find here?
I'm going to check my DMs right now. Maybe.
All right.
Ah, damn it. So, you know, you see.
Because they show names. Their names on the screen, right?
Yeah. So I'm like. Scott Yamamura, that name's semi-familiar, and there is a Scott Yamamura who has done some skate videos. I believe he's like in the Pacific Northwest and like had parts and seems to be the right age. I punished him on Instagram, but I didn't hear back. But I'm claiming that it's the same Scott Yamamura.
Okay.
And these folks are pretty ripping for like friend. They're like, they're better than friend good, I would say. You know what I mean? Like they're a little better than that guy in your town, around your town, you know, and just that whole thing of like the idea that like you could be on the show is like one of the biggest hooks, right? Like it's an amazing, like, you know, it reminds me of just how I would write letters to magazines just to get acknowledged, you know, like that's, you know, maybe for as critical as I am now of like social media or whatever, like I wanted attention too. So I wrote to magazines as well. And I think like that have that component of like what we would call now like user generated content. You know, because it also like, I think because videos weren't coming out as much and the mags are like staggered or whatever, you're always looking, like if you're actively skating, you're always looking for a check-in of like what the level is. So like your levels are like, what are the people around you doing? What are they doing in California? And what are average people doing? And so you have a weekly check-in now of like what average folks are doing. And then you can kind of gauge. But yeah, I think like that, it's just interesting of like, you know, you'd watch it with people and they'd be like, that dude sucks. Or like, that trick sucks. Like, can't believe they put that in there. Or like, why do they have to use trick filming? And it's, you know, whatever, it's 30 seconds, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. The one guy is, his board is super tiny. Did you notice how small that one kid, like maybe it was thrashed and he re-drilled the trucks in. It looks really crazy. It looks like, it's like almost a half board. It's something, it's a Nash Dozer or something. It's really crazy.
Yeah, I remember there was a dude I skated with who was really tall and he had the Fred Smith punk size and it looked like that. Like he just looked, now it looks like the that skate mafia, I don't even know what it's called, like the micro board that everyone skates or whatever. They just put out a full length video ripping that thing.
But... Well, if the dates on the screen are to be believed, that segment was filmed over 2 days in May of 1990.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Because
the little date mark on the VHS. It's May 22nd, May 23rd, May 24th. So 3 days. That's all you needed back then to film a part for Skate TV, man. 3 days.
Yeah. Or a good video, or a major video.
Or a major video. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's more time than a lot of the guys filming full length parts at that point in time we're getting. So
that's such a common one when you, you know, some of these folks who maybe had one or two parts, they're always saying like, yeah, they just came to fucking Sacramento and I had like a day, you know, like, that's like amazing. Like, I, you know, that producer and filmer Tony Roberts does a lot of interviews now, and it's incredible how much stuff he documented that advanced skateboarding that was done in one day.
Yeah, it's really crazy. All right, and then one more little segment here in the deep end. We get a preview of the Attack video, and this is something that blew my mind because I was like, okay, I'm watching a new Powell video apparently, but I have no idea. I've never seen this advertised. I don't know where to buy this. And it eluded me until the internet popped off 20 years later or whatever. So
you want to hear more about that video? Listen to episode 15 of this show.
There you go. Way back, episode 15. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that was the kind of the stuff that I love, you know, like I was so into videos and like just consuming any kind of skate media I could. So I was just like, whoa, what is this? I need this. And that's it for the deep end. Skate Master Tate. And he throws it to an at-home segment with Steve Size in Long Beach, California. And this is cool. We get like, it's like the kid interview, like sitting on your bed with your brother.
At home with Steve Size.
Yeah, you are really legitimately at home.
Like in his bedroom.
He's still got his pads on, man.
Got his pads on the
sweaty
bed.
Sweaty pads on the bed. I love the phone call cockiness answering, and then it's like his dad. And then he's like all stressed out about it.
Like, reminded me that like we all had that headboard back in the day. You don't see him too much. Back in the day, everyone had that headboard.
You'd hang your starter hats on it.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's got like the biggest cult poster ever, the E.D. Chow Baby mega poster. From Sonic Temple. And I was such a cult fan, and I don't know, maybe it's because my first board was a Kevin Staub. I don't know. I was so into the cult, and up until semi-recently, I had like all my the only things I've ever kept of like, other than like punk shirts or whatever, is like I kept all my cult t-shirts, and then I sold them all for way crazy money like a couple years ago. But I had like Sonic Temple tour shirt and like a Love tour shirt that like someone had given to me. But yeah, I spotted that graphic right away because I had like every 45. Like, I was just such a cult nut.
That's cool.
I noticed he had a Bones Brigade hat. And you guys, it's like green and yellow with the Bones Brigade patch. I think it was like a team hat that was given out. Oh, you don't see too many of them, but that was like hanging on the headboard post or whatever. Lance is wearing it in that Fearsome Foursome graphic. Do you know that one? He's got that hat on. It's got the bone. Those are like the team hat.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah, I wonder if he's still
bring that back. They need more team gear that I can't get.
Yeah, jackets
free,
and hats.
Free marketing idea to every brand listening.
Yeah,
I don't know why
the trench coats,
dude. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, the trench coats. I don't know why they don't reissue those military green team, but like 89 World Tour shirts. Mm-hmm. They should do those, man. God, I would love to have another one of those. Mine's all like I everything I bought back then was XL because you just bought extra large back then because no matter what size you were.
Yeah, that's like all there was, though, I think.
Like a, and it's massive on me. It's huge, and it's like got this bleach stain, and you know, I'm like, I don't want to wear it anymore, but I still want it. And reissue the damn team jacket from 89. Come on, people. It's printing money. You're printing money.
You could sell that at a premium price, too.
Dude, come on.
Yeah, nice cut and sew. And while they're at it, do the original graphic that he flashes here.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's awesome, dude.
The one he has in disposable too is awesome. That the goop monster. Why would they not make this? This looks cool.
Let's address the elephant in the room, man. Locking your brother in the dryer.
That's crazy. We might not know of Marco size these days if that really went down.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Marco could have been a tragedy, a news story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is some true 80s movie shit. Like you would only think of doing that in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. That's cool. It's a cool segment though. Classic Steve. This would be Buffalo Deck era, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
The size Buffalo.
Yeah, let's talk about that ramp for a minute though, because it used to be a vert ramp.
Vert ramp.
And they cut it down. Like you would not, if you were going to build a ramp and that mini ramp size, you would not have the transitions like that. So it's like pretty mellow mini ramp. Probably hard to skate.
I think didn't he talk on this show about how he hated it after he cut it down, but they just
didn't really work
skating it because
and that's also where Stacy recorded the skate sound effects for Gleaming the Cube. Steve's like if you hear a grind in Gleaming the Cube, it's Steve Size on that ramp. Like they just audio recorded Steve Size for
that's so crazy.
Gleaming
man.
The Cube. Yeah, that's crazy.
So seeing that as a kid. Being like, man, their neighbors are fucking haters. But then going to Long Beach later, it's like, those neighbors were probably justified.
That's This
isn't suburban sprawl. It's probably pretty gnarly.
Yeah. He does good one stuff. Trick where it's not in this part. It's in the middle of the show when they do a commercial bumper, like coming up after the break. He does the staple gun trick that he's probably invented or popularized or whatever. But he does a half cab to staple gun. Which I hadn't seen. I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
Wait, half.
Like come up fakey cab, and then go half cab into a staple gun.
And then pull out staple then, gun.
Yeah, yeah.
No shit. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I guess I missed that. Shout out to Steve, friend of the show.
Yeah. He's in the Five Timers Club.
He is.
It's been on many, many times. Yeah. And then Matt, coming out of that, we've got the Batman bumper.
The Batman bumper.
Bumper with all the sound effects. Yep.
Yep.
And we didn't really talk about the other ones, but they've kind of got like five or six bumpers. They always kind of
They got the Lance's kid.
That's a good one.
You know? Yeah.
There was one that had all the Powell like slam section sound effects that were like in it that I recognized.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a lot of dogs in all these episodes too. I never really understood that.
Skate dogs and like
actual
little
dogs.
Kids.
In the
credits, there's just all kinds of little kids skating.
That's true. Yeah, the little kid, was he knocking Seth's
hat off?
Off or whatever? Yeah, that's great.
But after Steve Size, we've got Skate TV Mail Time, which I don't remember. Did this segment fall away at some point? Because I don't remember these. They had, there was one in the previous episode. But we've got a letter from Tom Kelly from Ventura, California. And he writes in about the differences. What's better, surfing or skating? And so, Matthew Lynn just rips it, dude.
Oh, he goes right in. So yeah. I haven't listened to his. I'll admit I haven't listened to a Skate TV episode. So were these like letters that went to Powell that they just manufactured for the show? Because like as a kid I thought TV shows were filmed weekly, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like they'll just film it during the week, then it's on. But like obviously this is some, or is this a made-up letter? Like what's the deal with Tom Kelly? Is he real?
I don't know. I was wondering maybe like the first viewer video thing they kind of had to manufacture to like bait the other people. So I'm wondering if a couple of these letters in the early ones were like just fake ones to get people to send to the PO box or whatever.
Because no one would write to Powell and be like, dear Paul Peralta, what's better, surfing or skating? What if they came back? We're like, oh, surfing clearly is better. Go do that. Yeah, that's probably made up.
Yeah.
But well, you know
let's
what?
Have it. What is harder? What do you think?
Harder? Is that what they asked? What's harder?
What's better? Or yeah.
Oh, what's better? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surfing's got to be harder. Right?
What's harder? Surfing's fucking so hard.
Yeah.
Swimming's hard. I don't even want to go in the water.
Yeah, I'm not trying to like, I'm okay with the elements of skateboarding, you know, like whatever random things that happen. But once like wildlife is involved, I don't like the sport.
Yeah, man.
You get 100%. Sharks nipping at your toes.
I don't need sharks.
Yeah, dude, I don't need all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, have you ever slammed on sand? Have you ever tried to skimboard or anything like that? Dude, it's brutal.
It's
like, oh my God, dude, it's brutal. Like you'd think it would be like, oh, you slam on the sand, it's all soft and sand, you know, it's like welts and it's awful. And it's not fun. And that's it, right?
That's it. Skate, yeah. They kind of shut it down. Obligatory. By, telling us the skate safe.
Yeah.
And then we get the B-roll. There's always, if you really pay attention, some interesting, almost like kind of like behind the scenes and like B-roll stuff of like around the set, which is pretty cool to see. And then you get the, you know, the scrolling credits to Skate Master Tate, Justice to the Base. And that's it. Skate TV, episode three. What do we got? 10
too
more of these.
Too many more.
All right. Any final thoughts on the episode? I'm just blown away by how much they really pack into this 25 mm-hmm. minutes. There's a lot of material, a lot of information, segments all over the country. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think if you were to, like, knowing how you would organize something and present it and be like, we want to do this thing, like, they really do an amazing job of you know, whatever their pitch was in the beginning. Like, they deliver on everything. Like, it, you know, if you think that there's some people that this is the only episode they ever saw, they got a pretty good glimpse into skateboarding at that time. Like, that's, you know, if you think about it as a time capsule, like, it's, I don't know, we've seen all these different iterations of skate shows, and like, obviously the biggest one is not about skateboarding. It's just people kicking each other in the balls and shit. Like,
yeah.
But as far as like a pure skate show, like, it does represent skateboarding.
Definitely. Yeah,
it does. By skaters for skaters, right?
Yeah, just like they say.
That's what they say.
Yeah. All right, Anthony, thank you so much for joining us to dissect this episode of Skate TV.
Dude, great to have you back on.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for having me. Super fun to, it was fun just to go back and watch a glitchy VHS and then riff on it with y'all.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Thank you.
Cool.
All right, and there goes Anthony back to the green room. Disappearing into the internet void.
Yeah, dude, Anthony, such a knowledgeable dude, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's the best. So thanks again, Anthony, and come back again some other time.
There's plenty more Skate TV to get to.
Yeah,
and there's maybe, only so many people in this world to interview about it. So
yeah, maybe he'll just become the resident Skate TV
you know what, that's
philosopher.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right, so moving on, Matt, I guess it's that time.
It's time, let's hit it.
And now, the Bones Brigade Audio Show Mailbag.
All right, so we got Mike A, and he writes in and says, hey guys, I just wanted to first off say how much I love and appreciate the work that you're doing, because it is absolutely work. Bearing that in mind, have you guys talked about doing a deep dive on music videos that had skateboarders and skateboarding in them? Obvious ones like Suicidal Tendencies, In Excess, but it would be very cool to get a real deep dive on Urban Dance Squad. The Pink Motel pool info would be worth it. Or I know it's controversial, but the Free Falling video. Thank you so much. You guys are fucking awesome. So thank you, Mike.
Nice. I don't know. We haven't discussed music video stuff, have we?
Not really. I'm sure there's like, that would be kind of an interesting episode. See,
yeah,
if we
that could
figure,
be
figure out some stuff. Yeah, Urban Dance Squad, dude, I haven't thought about that band in a while. I saw Urban Dance Squad at this little club in St. Louis called The Other World, and they were opening for Deftones.
Oh wow.
Yeah, was it the other way around? No, Deftones were opening for Urban Dance Squad.
Nice.
Yes, yeah, that's what it was.
Well, isn't in the Urban Dance Squad video, isn't part of it still painted Skate TV? Isn't it like short? I think it may
have might
been.
Be. Yeah, it might be. Yeah, good point. Another great video that has Pink Motel Pool in it is this band called, they're like a hardcore band called Cerebral Ballsy.
Oh, yeah.
They have a song called On the Run. Mm-hmm. And they have a great video that was shot at the Pink Motel Pool.
That's cool.
The song is sick, and the video is awesome. So check that out if you haven't seen it.
That's cool. I do know Noah Ray. He's the kid, the skater kid in the REM End of the World as We Know It video. I did an interview with him.
For the zine?
For Pure Fun about 10 years ago or 15 nice. Years ago or something. So
that's
maybe,
cool.
Dude, maybe we could even just have him as a guest.
That'd be fun, man.
Yeah, that's
good
cool.
Idea.
He's a
good
cool, idea. He's a cool dude. Yeah.
We'll get Mike A on too. What the hell? The more the scarier. So thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mike. Cool. Yeah, maybe we'll maybe we could once in a while just chuck a music video at the end of an episode or something. Discuss it or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Tossing out ideas.
I like it, dude.
Yeah.
It'll be like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. We'll do a live video commentary.
Speaking of, dude, did you see the Beavis and Butthead SNL thing? God, I was crying laughing, dude. That was the funniest thing I've seen in a while. All right, Scott R. He writes in and says, hey, guys.
It's our pen pal, Scott. I love that he writes in, we respond, and then he just writes in again, and we just
it's keep like it. An old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep it going, Scott.
Thanks for reading my Back to the Future comments last week. I totally didn't expect that, so it was an awesome surprise for my son and I. Just giving you an update on the Dark Slides and Secret Tapes NYC event. It was super great to see so many skaters, old and new, and to be there live to hear what they had to share. It was definitely a mix of things I've heard before, but for sure some new stories and insights into their skating. Also got a peek of some rare video footage I've never seen, especially of Hawk when he was younger. The only other skater I saw there was Sean Mortimer, who did a Q&A with them at the end of the event. But it was mentioned by Hawk numerous times that Mark Gonzalez was in the audience. It's kind of
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
People did come from all over, even as far as Tennessee, which was pretty cool. And the fact that people spent $400 for VIP seats and a pick with them is amazing, but way out of my budget. I tried to stick around to see it all go down, but security kicked me and my wife out. My New York slickness didn't work well that night. Hoping Larry had better luck in Austin. I've seen Hawk at various events through the years, but never Mullen, which would have been a great treat. Overall, an amazing night, and I hope they decide to record it so others can see it too. Thank you, Scott.
That'd be cool. Thanks, Scott.
Well, so Larry did go to the event in Austin, and we'll probably chat a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we forgot to on this
next episode.
Yeah.
It's late, though. We're trying to get this up here.
Yeah.
Our kids are upstairs, like, jumping around, and there's chaos. Pillow fights and all sorts of craziness. So our last mailbag entry from the one and only Moses Akonin.
Oh, nice.
And he writes in after seeing the Matcha Rules episode.
Very cool.
Wild. I've never seen this. Going to save it and watch it with my sons, ironically.
That's cool.
The Skate Obstacle Course TV show was insane. If I remember right, they had aired a pile of episodes with no one successfully completing the course. It was a ninja warrior type course. Super skinny, sketchy wood course with water. You had to cruise through the maze without putting your hands or feet down or bailing. At the end, they had smoke jets and everything. There was decent prize money, maybe $3,000. You got one shot at it. Both Cab and I almost completed the course and got the farthest. So the producers decided to give us another crack at it for 50% of the original prize money, and we pulled it. Nice. I spent some of the money on Japanese tech headphones, maybe, and Steve bought more toys, probably. Japan is awesome, highly recommended to anyone who wants to experience culture shock in a different world compared to North America. Super wild experience. So, dude, Moses, thank you so much for writing and telling
us. That's awesome. Yeah, I love hearing. Yeah, that video's a mystery, so any other little kind of knowledge or history behind that is cool to get.
Yeah. Well, that, and it's cool because it shines some light on that part, which was one of the more.
To me, it was the most enjoyable part just because it was so weird and different. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it for the mailbag. Thank you all for writing in.
Thanks everybody for writing in. We want you, everyone out there can be a part of the show. So send us an email. The easiest way to do that is to go to our website at thebonesbrigadeaudioshow.com, click on the contact page and you can message us right there and we'll get your message on a future show.
There it is.
All right, Matt. So let's see. I think we're done. Anything else you want to say at the end here?
No, man. Skate TV. What do you need to know? Go watch it. Go check out the full episode 3 on our YouTube channel.
Yep.
As always, thanks to Larry, enterprising young Larry Ransom, you get to see it in its full length glory.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Aired it out on some Skate TV and recorded them.
Definitely.
Man, I just want to thank everyone who listens and tunes into this silly little show of ours. It means a lot. And we're gonna keep this thing going.
In fact, I should probably mention thank you to all the listeners, well, all over the world. But we had a pretty nice little charting number this past week. I think we got to 54 in the U.S.
That's right.
In our category.
Is that the highest that we've ranked?
I'm not sure. It's up there.
I know. Weren't we number 2 in Japan at one point or something?
We were number 2 in Finland, definitely. Yeah.
So we've been
we get up there sometimes in some of those, you know, markets, and then it's like the next month it'll be like we're number 255 or something.
Yeah.
It fluctuates daily, but anyway, it's really cool. So yeah, thank you for sure for listening. Very cool.
Yeah, thanks everybody. All right, we'll be back soon with another episode, but until then, I'm Larry.
I'm Matt.
Reminding you to never stop searching for Chin. Have a great night.
To move, to boom with the bass on a groove. I can't hold it back, it's the forward attack. To open eyes and ears, to knock so loud. People hear from the bass, they're coming down from above. It's the knowledge, wisdom, peace, and most of all, love. Life can be tough when you're ruthless and rough. On regular 40, people who are trying to stay up.
The madness just to the bass. The madness just to the bass.
For me, sober leaders should see that to live it together is my necessity. A land of one where a nation's begun, so respect my rights when I'm out having fun. I'm on a mission to solve this condition for a better together. Yes, I'll keep on wishing, but base is relief, self-destruction must cease. Yes, united we stand with the knowledge of peace. Don't call me rebellious, so I just dispel this from the start with heart back to back. Get that, sisters and brothers, just to dumb it up forever. Boom it like you have to. What you ought to do is follow for now. While it's in session, to condition, like a dollar sign, from a hit line, yes, the dopest rhyme, these are different times, read between the lines.
The madness just to the bass, 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 the madness just to the bass.
And bubbling and so low, treble. How high can it fly? So high, it will never dry. Come on, the mission's getting started. I'm pumping it up the wisdom for the people with the beat. Time to get busy while we knowledge your body. Dancing and sweating is controlled by your feet. The rhythm and the method is used like a drummer. The funkier the hit, the harder the boom. Turn the music up all the way through the summer, winter chill with the posse, and we rockin' to the moon. Flowing like solar energy creates a drama. Bass and drums is bubbling it up like a stew. Strength is a stick that's so soothing like a sauna. Position of my freedom is degree of 42.
The madness just to the bass. The madness just to the bass. The madness just to the bass.
To the bass.
The madness just to the bass. The madness just to the bass.
With MC Skitmaster Tiff, Willie Brown, we get down.
And I think we're out of here now,
man. That is it.
Remember, keep the faith and always skate, all right?
And when you skate, skate safe.